We're holding a Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Amud Beis, at the beginning of the second Perek, Perek Bameh Madlikin. And the Mishnah asks, Bameh Madlikin Ubama Ein Madlikin. What kind of wicks can be used for Neir Shabbos, and what kind of wicks cannot be used? The overall theme here is going to be that oils that do not burn well, meaning that they're not easily absorbed by a wick, and wicks that do not absorb oil well, they can't be used for Shabbos lighting, because a ner kindled with wicks or oil that are not good will start flickering, and a person will not be able to see well with them, and a person may come to tilt the lamp in order to make the flame stronger. With that, he'll come to be over an isra of melacha on Shabbos of Havara. So the Mishnah says that one cannot use wicks of lechesh. This is a wool-like substance of the cedar tree. Chaisen, which is flax. Kolach, which is floss silk, psilas ha'idan, wood-like substance from the arava, the willow tree, psilas ha'midbar, grass from the desert. Finally, yiroika sha'al pnei ha'mayim, simas. The Mishnah then continues with oils that cannot be used. Zephes, tar, shaiva, wax, shemen kik, wool oil, shemen sreifo, oil that came from truma tamea, Alya, fat of the sheep's tail. Chelev, fat, which is osur ba'achila. The difference between shuman and chelev is shuman is fat, which is mutter ba'achila, and chelev is fat, which is osur ba'achila. We should point out as a side matter, we talk about wax. Although wax cannot be used as oil, wax are able to be used as candles. And this, of course, we know is what we use today. And this is the sheet of Rashi and Taisus, as well as it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Samach Dalad, Siv Zayin, that wax candles may be used for Neir Shabbos. The Mishnah then says, Nocham Hamadi says, you can use fat that was cooked, which is referred to as tallow, but the Chachamim say, Echad Mavushal, the Echad She'ena Mavushal, whether it was cooked or uncooked fat, Ein Madlikin Bayit. They may not be used for Hadlokas Neiros Shal Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Yiroika sha'al pnei hamayim refers to grass which grows on the side of a stationary ship sitting in a port, or otherwise called simas. All the items that the Mishnah listed as wicks, which cannot be used on Shabbos, can be used to make a torch for light or heat on Shabbos. Since there are so many wicks, even if one of the wicks flickers out, it'll be rekindled by the other wicks. So we're not chayshish for chilul Shabbos, because a person is not going to tilt that to try to get it relit, because there are other wicks to help relight it. Mashenka, if it's a single wick, like for a candle, if that's flickering out, the person loses it completely. There were chayshish for chilul Shabbos. Although the wicks listed in the Mishnah are pasul as wicks, but they can be used as a floating device to hold up a kashera wick. The Gemara says the wicks and oils enumerated in our Mishnah, which are also to be used for halakas neir shel Shabbos, also cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash to light the menorah, since it must be items which are oila me'elaha, capable of burning totally independently without help, i.e. wicks and oil which burn well. The Gemara says the worn-out pants and belts of the Kohanim would be torn up and used as wicks for the fires of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was done on Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Huna says, the wicks and oils which can't be used for Halakas Neiros Shel Shabbos also cannot be used for Neiros Chanukah, since kofsa zokukla, if the menorah light goes out, you must rekindle it. And since these items mentioned in the Mishnah don't burn well, there is a more higher degree of likelihood that they will not burn long enough, i.e. they will not burn for at least a half hour. He'll forget to rekindle them and not be yoytze in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. This reason applies to both Chol as well as Erev Shabbos. In addition, on Shabbos, he can't use the Mishnah's wicks and oils, since Rav Huna holds, mutter lihishtamesh lo'ira. It's mutter to benefit from the light of the Chanukah menorah for personal purposes. For example, if a person wants to read. So if on Shabbos he uses inferior wicks and it starts to flicker out, he may tip the menorah to improve the light, and he'll be over on the melacha of Havara. But Rav Chisda said, on Chol, he can use the Mishnah's wicks and oils, since he holds, kofsa ein zokukla. If the Neiros Chanukah go out before the proper half-hour zman, one does not have to rekindle. On Shabbos, however, it's also to use the Mishnah's wicks and oil, since he is chayshish for the chilul Shabbos reason that we mentioned before. The Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim, Siman Tov Resh Ayin Gimel, Sif Beis, paskins like Rav, who says, Kofsa Ein Zakugla. If the lights of one's menorah goes out prematurely, he's not mechuyev to go back and relight. However, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Chaf Zayin brings B'Shem Yachreinim that even though we hold Kofsa Ein Zakugla, it's still a mitzvah lachatchila to go back and relight anyway. Rav said a third shita. Although the items in the Mishnah are asur for hadlakas ner Rishel Shabbos, they are mutter to use on Chanukah, whether it be on Chol or on Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehu explained why. Number one, the reason that they're mutter to use is because we hold kofsa ein zakukla. If it goes out, you don't have to relight. Number two, regarding the Chil Shabbos issue, there's no issue of Chil Shabbos, since the halacha is asur liyishtamesh li'ara. It's asur to benefit from the light of the Chanukah licht. Ein lanu rishus liyishtamesh b'hem. So since he can't get Hanah, there is no chashash of Shamayata that he might tip it over. He's not going to touch it since it's obvious that its sole purpose is for Ner Mitzvah, not for personal use. At first, Abaye did not want to accept it, but later he did. And he said that it's a shame that I didn't learn this earlier. Abaye the Gemara asks, what does it matter when he learned it? He learned it now. My answer is Nafgamina Girsa Diyankusa. What one learns when he is younger, he retains better than what he learns when he's older. We referred to it as Girsa de Yankisa. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neris Shal Chanukah is from Mishatishka Hachama, when the sun sets, until Ad Shatichle Regel Min Hashuk, until people leave the marketplace. Regarding Mishatishka Hachama, there are three shitas as to when the beginning of the Zman of Hadlakas Neris Shal Chanukah is. The Rosh and the Tur, in Or HaChaim Siman Tov Resh Ayin Beis Sif Aleph, say that this is when the sun finishes setting. The Shitas Hagra is the beginning of the sunset, and the Rashba, the Ran, and the Meiri hold the beginning of the Zman is at the second sunset, the Shkia Shnia, which is learnt as 1/4 hour before nightfall. This is brought in Or HaChaim, Siman Resh Samach Aleph, Sif Beis. But the Mishnah Brura, however, says that one should put in enough oil, regardless of what the Shita that one holds, one should put in enough oil so the menorah continues to burn till at least a half hour after Tzeis HaKechavim. In terms of Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk, when is the end, the final Zman, that people should light Lechatchila? This is until the last people leave the marketplace. And this is referring to the Tarmudayim. These are the people who sold wood, which really is at the end of the marketplace time, when the last people leave the marketplace. What about if a person is not home until late? Let's say the Zman of Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk, for example, is 7:30 p.m., but the person doesn't get home till 10 p.m. What should he do? The Rama says, really, a person has all night to light. As long as somebody else is up to see him light, you'll be able to get Pirsumei Nisa by having that other person watch it, then you can light even till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, or all night for that matter. The Marashal, however, holds that the Zman is only till Chatzais, and the Mishnah Brura says we paskin like the Rama, b'diavad. The b'diavad, a person can really light a whole night, as long as somebody's up to see him lighting, or at least to see the candles that they're actually lit, in order to get the Pirsumei Nisa. Taisu says B'Shem Nuri that today, since we light inside our houses, and the Pirsumei Nisa is for the people of our family who is in the house, but the Eved one can light even after the Zman of Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk, as we mentioned before. Whether the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa is only for Klal Yisrael, or for the Goyim as well, is a Machlokes Rishayim. Rashi says it's for the Goyim, and the Rif says the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa is just for Klal Yisrael. Tanur Rabbanan. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeisai. The basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a single Ner on each night within each household. That means in each household, we light one candle for everybody in the household, every night of Chanukah. One who wants to light L'Mahadrin lights one Ner for each person in the household. That means each person who's living in the house would light one candle on each night of Chanukah. And Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin is that we light more than one candle on certain nights of Chanukah. Now here there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, on night number one, we light 8 candles. On night number two, we light 7 candles. So we begin with many candles, and we work our way down. So by night number 8, we light only one candle. The logic here is, since on night one, I have 8 days left, I light 8 candles. Yomim hanichnasim. Another reason, according to Beis Shammai, we light 8 on night number one, is because the karbanis of Sukkos got less and less as the days progressed further into Sukkos. Beis Hillel says just the opposite. On day number one, we light one candle. On day number two, we light two candles. So by the time we get to day number eight, or night number eight, we light eight candles. He holds this because on each day, we have more days that have passed. Yamim hayoytzim. Or another reason, because Ma'ilim b'kodesh v'ein meridin. We go up in Kedusha, not down. So on night number one, we light one. On night number two, we have to light two, and so on. Regarding the concept of mitzvahs, mahadrin, mina mahadrin, according to Tosfos, this means that we change the number on each day, but only the head of the household lights, nobody else. So the mahadrin, mina mahadrin means we're lighting multiple candles, but still only one person lights. The Rama, however, paskins that we do like Beis Hillel, that we start with night number one, we light one candle, night number two, we light two candles, and so on. But not only do we increase the candles as we go through the nights, but mahadrin min ha-mahadrin also means that everybody in the house lights for themselves. That's called mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Near Hanukkah, the mitzvah is to place them by the door of one's house on the outside of the door for the purpose of pirsume nisa. Rashi says this means that the Pesach Beisai, the entrance to the house, not the Pesach Chatzerai next to the Rishus HaRabim. Taisu says this means the doorway of the Chatzer next to the Rishus HaRabim. If one lives upstairs, he should place it on the inside of the window, which faces the Rishus HaRabim. In a time of Sakana, where they didn't want to publicize this too openly because they were afraid, then one can place it on the table inside of the house, so the people inside the house will see it. That's called Pirsume Nisa. Rava said, in addition to the regular candles of the night, we need an extra ner to be lit on the menorah, because Ein Rishus L'shtamish Bahem, a person is not allowed to have Hanah from the regular Hanukkah candles, he puts an extra ner on the menorah, so if he gets Hanah, he'll be getting it from that extra candle. Rashi says that this ner is a heker to remind someone not to use the ner Hanukkah for personal use. This extra ner is what we refer today to as the shamas, which we use as the flame to light the other candles with. The Gemara asks, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? I.e., on what miracle were Chazal Kevea the Chag of Hanukkah? The Gemara answers, on Chaf Hei Kislev, we begin the 8 days of Hanukkah. It is usher to do hespit, or fast, on those days, since when the Yevanim, the Greeks, came into the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, they were metame all the oil, and when the Malchus Beis Hashmonai strengthened themselves and won over the Yevanim, they checked the entire Heichal for oil to be able to light the menorah, but found only one small jug of oil with a kosher seal, and there was only enough oil to last 1 day. They lit it with this oil, and the miracle happened is that it lasted for 8 days, a miracle. So the next year they were Kaveh Achag, with Halel and Hoidah, i.e. Al Hanisim, in Shemayin Esrei and Birchas Hamazon, but there was no Isser of Melacha. Here we should point out two famous questions about Hanukkah. One question is, why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, and not celebrate it for 7 days? Really, the miracle that occurred was in the fact that the oil burnt for 7 additional days. There was only enough oil for 1 day, but instead the oil burnt for 8 days. So we should celebrate Hanukkah for the 7 extra days where the miracle occurred, because the first night there was enough oil, really, for it to burn for 1 day. One of the terutzim of the Beis Yosef is that even on the first night, normally when oil burns, the oil begins hour by hour to become less and less. But even on the first night, the oil did not become less and less. So it was clear to everybody that a miracle was occurring even on the first night, not only on all the subsequent nights. That's why we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days and not for 7 days. The other question is the question of the Levush. Why is it that on Hanukkah, we know that normally, on the Yom Tovim, for example, we have Hallel, we have Sudas, and we have special items and mitzvahs that we do on all the Yom Tovim. These two are considered to be Chashuva days because of miracles that occurred to Klal Yisrael. But there are things missing on each of the days. On Hanukkah, we say Hallel, but we do not have a special Suda. And on Purim, we have a special Suda for Purim. A Suda is Haidah for the fact that we were saved, but we don't say Hallel. Why is it that we have Hallel on Hanukkah, but no Suda? And we have Suda on Purim, but no Hallel? Why do we have this particular phenomenon? The Levush answers, because on Hanukkah, the destruction that was attempted for Bnei Yisrael was a destruction that had to do with Ruchnias. It was a Ruchnias. It was a spiritual destruction regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we say Hallel because that's something spiritual, but we don't do a Suda because a Suda is something physical. Mashenken on Purim. Purim, Haman tried to destroy us physically, but there was nothing really spiritual about that. Therefore, we make a Suda on Purim because Suda represents something physical. Mashenken Hallel we don't say because it wasn't really something spiritual. The Gemara says if a spark flies out from the blacksmith's hammer and does damage, the blacksmith is chayev for anything that got damaged. If a camel is carrying straw, and the straw sticks out, the straw is running now perpendicular to the back, on top of the back of the camel, and the straw sticks out into a store, and within the store there was a little fire, and the fire catches onto the straw, and now it creates a very big fire and damages the store and other things, we say that the Baal HaGomel is chayev, the person who owns the camel is chayev. Since he was negligent, he shouldn't have let the straw protrude into the stores as the camel is walking. If the chenveni, however, sets up a candle outside the store, and that candle which is outside the store catches fire with straw which is on a camel just stam walking in the street, then the chenveni is chayev. Because in that case, the storekeeper should be more careful. He shouldn't have left a running flame outside the store when he saw a camel coming with straw on its back. Rabbi Yehuda says, however, if we're dealing with near Hanukkah, then the chenveni is pater, since the Baal HaGomel should have anticipated that it was Hanukkah, and there would be candles lit on the outside. By the way, this is one of the only two places in Mishnayos where the word Hanukkah is mentioned. We know here we have the sugya of Hanukkah, which is here in the Gemara, but Hanukkah is only mentioned in two places in Mishnah. One is here in Baba Kama, and two is a Mishnah in Bikurim. From this Mishnah, we learn that it's a mitzvah to put the Ner Hanukkah within 10 tefachim of the ground. Daf Chav Beis. Reb Kahana said a Ner Hanukkah which is placed higher than 20 amos, which is about 40 feet, is possible, since it's too high for people to see, so there's no pursuma nisa. It's just like sukkah, where if the schach is more than 20 amos above the ground, the sukkah is possible, or if the kaira over a mavui is more than 20 amos tall, or more than 20 amos above the ground, the Erev Chatzeres is possible, and carrying would be usur in that area. Reb Kahana also said, regarding the pasuk by Yosef in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, what is meant when the Torah says, Vahabor reik ein b'mayim, and the pit that the brothers put Yosef in was empty, and there was no water in it? If it says that it was empty, doesn't it mean there was no water? It means that there was no water in it because it was empty. Our answer is, mayim ein b'y. It means when it says, Vahabor reik, it was empty, it means mayim ein b'y, there was no water in it. But ein by mayim is coming to tell us, aval nechashim bakravim yesh by. There were snakes and there were scorpions. But it was so far down that the brothers couldn't see the snakes and the scorpions. An obvious question is, what is this Gemara doing here? How is this related to Hanukkah? We have a whole sugya where we're talking about my Hanukkah, and near Hanukkah which is placed more than 20 amos. Later on, right after this, we're going to be talking about that near Hanukkah needs to be placed near the tefach of a door, within the tefach of a door. And right in the middle of all this, we have a question of, what does this have to do with Hanukkah? First of all, you could answer that once we bring the Meimah from Rav Kahana, who was the Mandiyamu who said that a Ner Hanukkah, which is placed higher than 20 Amos, is possible, because it's not possible to have Pursum Enisa. People can't see it properly. Once we're bringing a Meimah from Rav Kahana, we bring another Meimah from Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is the one who also asked the question of Aboreik and Bamayim, what does it have to say both for? Also, you could answer that the whole Inyan of 20 Amos that we mentioned from Rav Kahana before, that if a Ner Hanukkah is placed higher than 20 amos, it's possible since it's too high for people to see, that is learned from the pasuk of Aboreik Ein B'mayim, because the fact that the brothers didn't see the Nechashim Bakravim is because the pit was more than 20 amos deep, and they couldn't see. So you have a raya, the fact that it was 20 amos deep, and they couldn't see it. The same thing is true by Ner Hanukkah. If it's more than 20 amos high, people can't see it. And that same thing, by the way, also applies to sukkah as well. If a sukkah is more than 20 amos high, people can't see it. Schach, therefore it's no good. Also, another interesting side point is Parshas Vayeshev very often is Shabbos Hanukkah, and so the two are related. Going back to the Gemara, Rabbah said that near Hanukkah should be placed within a tefach of the door. On which side of the door? Rabbi Achab Rei de Rava said on the right side when entering, and Rabbi Shmuel Midifti said the left side when entering. And the locha is on the left side when coming in. So that the neiros are on the left side, opposite the mezuzah, which is on the right side, derech biyatzcha. So one is surrounded completely by mitzvahs. And they ask Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is it mutter to use the noi sukkah during sukkahs, the decorations of the sukkah? He answered, they should not use it, because this is a bizui mitzvah, unless he made a tanai before yontiv that he would use it. Rab said, one should not light one ner Hanukkah from the other. Shmuel said, this is okay. Rav said, one can't take tzitzis off of one beged and put it on a different beged. Shmuel said, this is okay. Rav said, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon regarding gririn, dragging a bed. Shmuel says, that it is like Reb Shimon. This machlokes tanoim, if a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter or not, i.e., if one is allowed to perform an act which is mutter on Shabbos, when it is shayach that he'll incidentally do a malacha which is aser. And the classical case is if a person drags a bed across grass. He doesn't intend to do any malacha, he just wants to move the bed. But there's a possibility he'll create a chritz in the ground, a furrow, which should be the malacha of chayrish. According to Reb Shimon, this is mutter, because davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. According to Reb Yehuda, this is aser, because davar she'eino miskaven is aser. Of course, even according to Reb Shimon, we should just point out, we'll learn the sugya a little bit later on Daf Mem, that according to Reb Shimon, who holds davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. However, if there is a psik resha, if it's inevitable, if it's certain that the malacha will occur, and if he drags it over the ground, he will create a furrow, then in that case, even Reb Shimon would be maida that a davar she'eino miskaven is aser. Psik resha means if you cut off the head of a chicken. Psik resha v'liyamas, of course, if you're going to cut the head off of a chicken, of course, it's inevitable that the chicken is going to die. So the same thing here. If it's inevitable that it's going to create a furrow, and it's going to make that a person will be able to do the malacha, or will do the malacha of cheresh, then of course it's aser, even according to Reb Shimon. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about if there's a possibility that will occur. In that case, Reb Shimon would hold, davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Normally, by the way, the rule is that the halacha is like Rav by Yisurim, and like Shmuel by Mominus. But Abaye said, regarding all shilas, when there's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel be'isser, we pass them like Rav, as we just mentioned, except in these three cases here that we just brought down. Malikim miner l'ner, matirin mibeged l'beged by tzitzis, and the fact that halacha is like Reb Shimon, bigrera, that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Here are the three examples that even by Yisurim, we pass them like Shmuel, in these three cases. The Talmidim said, according to Rav, you can't light on Hanukkah, miner l'ner, since it's considered a bizoy mitzvah. It's a bizoyin. Others said that it's aser, since you can't make the first candle less when you do that. The purpose of the lights of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was to show the world that the Shechinah is shayra with Klal Yisrael. Specifically, this refers to the Ner Maravi, the western lamp of the menorah, i.e. the menorah was placed in the eastern part of the Heichal. It's a machlokes in Menachos, exactly which Ner this was, and it's totally as to whether the menorah actually was positioned east to west or north to south. From the pasuk in Vayikra, Yarech, we learn that the neiros of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash must stay lit all night, even on the longest night of the year, which is in Teves. The Gemara says the pasuk in the Shaila of Ner Lener, they looked at a different Shaila. By neiros Chanukah, do we say Hanacha Eisei Mitzvah, the placement is the mitzvah itself, so therefore Ein Madlikim in Ner Lener, or hadlaka oisei mitzvah, the kindling is what does the mitzvah, therefore madlikin miner l'ner. Lamaisa, we paskin that hadlaka oisei mitzvah, and therefore also like Shmuel, that madlikin miner l'ner. However, there's a machlekes rishayim as to exactly what this gemara means. The Rush and the Rambam rule, as it's brought in Kuntres Aladav, that lighting one Chanukah licht from another is mutter only if it's done directly without the use of a match. Taking fire from a Chanukah licht with a non-mitzvah item, for example, such as a match, is considered disrespectful to the mitzvah, a bizui mitzvah, even if it's done for the purpose of lighting a menorah. The Maggid Avraham, however, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Dalet, says that if someone's Chanukah licht goes out, he may not rekindle it with another Chanukah light, because as stated before, the Shulchan Aruch rules that there is no mitzvah to rekindle an extinguished Chanukah light, even if it went out prematurely. As we said, kofsa ein zokukla. The Ramah, however, paskins in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Dalet, Sif Aleph, that we should be machmer, not to light even directly from one ner to the other. But rather, we have to light. If one goes out, we should use the Shamas. Question. By Neiros Chanukah, do we say Hanacha Oisei Mitzvah, placing the menorah as the mitzvah, or Hadlaka Oisei Mitzvah, the lighting is the actual mitzvah? Ramah paskins, Hadlaka Oisei Mitzvah, as we learn from the Nusach of the Bracha that we say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Ner Shel Chanukah. If a chereshite of the cotton lights Neiros Chanukah, if there might see others, the others are not yotzei. But a woman can light for others, and the others are yotzei. This is brought la'alocha in the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Tov Reish Ayin Hey, Sifkan Yud, Ayin Sham for the details. But what about the fact that mitzvahs asei shazman grama, that a woman is not mechuyev in a mitzvah say shazman grama, so how can she be mitzi others? Our answers from Yeshua ben Levi, they are really mechuyev in Eros Chanukah, even though it's a mitzvah say shazman grama, because Athen Hayu ba'Oseh HaNes. They too were involved in the miracle of Hanukkah. And here we have a machlokes rishonim as to exactly what Athen Hayu ba'Oseh HaNes means. Either it means that they were also involved in the oppression, since all Basulais had to first submit to the local Greek general, or it means that they, the women, were the main catalyst for the miracle. I.e. Yehudas, who fed the Greek general cheese to make him thirsty, gave him wine to make him drunk, and then cut off his head. The Rashbam says, Afhein oya ba'isei ha'nes means that the women were the catalysts for the Nes. For example, Yehudas by Hanukkah, Esther by Purim, and by Pesach, Bischus Nashim Tzidkanius Nigalu, by the Arba Kaisis. That's why women are mechuyev in these three mitzvahs, even though they're mitzvah sasei shazman groma. Taisus argues, and says, Afhein isn't mashma they themselves, but rather they also, i.e. they were part of it along with the men. They were saved via a nes along with the men. Afhein, they also. If this is so, why then aren't women mechuyev in sukkah as well? Afhein, Taisus explains, in Psachim, can only be used to be mechayev a woman on a mitzvah derabbanan, not a mitzvah deraisa like sukkah. So for example, Hanukkah, Purim, and Arba Kaisis, which are all midrabbanan, there you could say Afhein oya ba'isei ha'nes, since women were either the catalyst or they were also involved, therefore they're also mechuyev, even though it's a mitzvah to say shazman groma. But sukkah, which is a mitzvah deraisa, there you can't say Afhein oya ba'isei ha'nes to be mechayev them in a mitzvah to say shazman groma. The Gemara says a guest in someone else's house must also light Ner Chanukah, and the Mechaber in Arachayim Simen Tov Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph writes that he can also give a pruta to the Baal Bayis to be Mishtatev. In fact, he should give a pruta to be Mishtatev. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says all oils are good for Neris Chanukah, but Shemen Zayith, olive oil, is Min HaMuvchar, since it yields a clearer fire and is really the best oil. And the Rama in Simen Tov Reish Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph writes that our minig is that if one person does not have olive oil to light, he's allowed to use wax candles, because the light produced by wax candles is as clear as the light produced by olive oil. The Mishnah Berurah, however, in Sifkat and Dalad, writes that even though the light of wax candles is clear and is as clear as olive oil is still preferred over wax, since the Hanukkah miracle took place with Shemen Zayas. And the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tafrei Shayin Beis, Sif Beis, says that one has to put enough oil in the menorah to burn for at least a half hour, and if the menorah burns longer than a half hour, it's mutter for a person to extinguish those lights. The Gemara says one who lights Neris Chanukah must make a bracha, and if someone sees Neris Chanukah from the road, and he knows they will have no access to Neris that night, for example he's on a ship, then he should also make a bracha upon seeing the Neris Chanukah. Rabbi Yehuda says on the first night of Chanukah we make three brachas, Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, She'asa Nisim Aveisenu, and She'achiyanu. One who just sees the lights makes only two brachas, She'asa Nisim Aveisenu, and She'achiyanu. He doesn't make Lahadlik because he's not lighting. On the other seven nights, we make only two brachas, Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, and She'asa Nisim Aveisenu. But on the rest of the nights, if one just sees it, he makes only one bracha. And the first bracha, when a person makes the bracha, is Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvayseh V'tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah. I think Gemara asks, how do we say vitzivanu? This is not midaraisa. So where were we mitzuva min ha-tayra to have the chag of Chanukah and i.e. to make a bracha? Our answer is that we learn from the pasuk in Devarim Yudzayim loisaser that the chachamim make a takana. They become now the conduit to bring a tzivay from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. it's only called the Rabbanan. Still, that's called vitzivanu enough to make the bracha. Rapuna says, if a house opens up to a chatzar and it has two entrances, each entrance requires its own menorah. Rava says, that's only if the entrances are on two separate sides, since we have to be chayshish for chshad. People who pass on the unlit side will think that this person doesn't like Chanukah. Rava says, if someone only has enough money to buy a Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, then Ner Shabbos comes first, because it's needed for Shalom Bayis. If he has only enough money for Ner Shabbos or Yayin LeKiddush, so Ner comes first, again because of Shalom Bayis. What if one has a choice between Ner Chanukah or Yayin LeKiddush? Do we say Ner due to Pirsumei Nisa, or do we say Kiddush because of Tadir V'she'en Tadir, Tadir Kaidim? Kiddush is more often. And he said that Ner Chanukah comes first because of Pirsumei Nisa. And Rapuna added, if one is consistent with the mitzvah of Ner, he'll be zeicha to have banav Talmidei Chachamim. As Rashi says, Ki Ner mitzvah v'tayra'ar. The Gemara says if one is careful in the mitzvah of mezuzah, he'll be zeichah to have a nice home. If one is nizer and tzitzis, he'll be zeichah to have a beautiful talis. In Kiddush, he'll be zeichah to have a lot of wine. In fact, Rav Huna used to notice that Rav Oven, the carpenter, was very nizer in the mitzvah of ner, and in fact, he had two great gedolim as children. Finally, the wife of Rabbi Yosef used to light neiros very close to Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosef was afraid of this, and he told her to be careful to light a little bit earlier so as not to get into the possibility of chilul Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Dalet. The Gemara says anything that you cannot use for neiros Shabbos can be used for neiros Yontif, except for Shemen Sreifa. Shemen Sreifa is oil which must be burnt, so that can't be used, since Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif. The Gemara asks, do we mention Chanukah in Birchas HaMazon? Rav Huna says, no, we don't, but if you want to, you can. Rav Sheshe said, just like we say Al HaNisim in Shmona Esrei, we say it in Birchas HaMazon as well. What about Yal V'Yavai on Rosh Chodesh? Do we mention Yal V'Yavai in Birchas HaMazon? Rav says yes, Rav Chanina says no. Rav Ishia said, we hold like Rav, and we must say Yal V'Yavai in Birchas HaMazon. In fact, on days where the Karban Musaf was brought, for example, Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, if one forgets to say Yal V'Yavai in Shmona Esrei, he must repeat Shmona Esrei. Therefore, in Birchas HaMazon, one must say Yal V'Yavai as well. However, on days where there is no Musaf, but it's a special day, for example, a Tainus, one must add a special tefillah in Shmona Esrei. This means Anenu on a Tainus. But if a person forgot to say Anenu, he doesn't have to go back, and he doesn't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. And the same thing is true on Hanukkah with Al HaNisim, that if a person forgets Al HaNisim, he does not have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Rashi says, on a Tainus by Maariv, it's our minig not to mention the inyan of the Tainus by Maariv, because we aren't fasting yet. The fast doesn't begin until the morning, and we don't mention it in Shacharis either, because a person may not complete the fast. The only time we mention it through Anenu is by Mincha. The Baal Tefila, however, says Anenu in Chazaras HaShatz by Shacharis, since amongst all the Mispalim, somebody is certainly going to complete the Tainus. Therefore, for him who sang it for everybody, we do say Anenu in the Chazaras HaShatz of Shacharis. Taisus and the Rosh both say that if on Chanukah a person forgets to say Al HaNisim in Shmona Esrei, or in benching, he does not have to repeat the Shmona Esrei or Birchas HaMazon, since as we mentioned before, the rule is if there's no Karban Musaf on that day, then one does not have to go back. And since there's no Karban Musaf on Chanukah, and Chanukah is only Midrabanan, a person does not have to go back. The Gemara says there is no Musaf on Chanukah, but on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, or Shabbos Chanukah, when we do daven Musaf for Shabbos or for Rosh Chodesh, the question is, do we say Al HaNisim in Musaf or not? The Gemara says, yes, we do. As Rabbi Gittel said, on any special day, we always add in a reference to that special day, in every Shmona Esrei, regardless of what we're saying or why we're saying that particular Shmona Esrei. So, for example, to extend this on Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, by Ne'ilah, we do mention Shabbos. Even though Ne'ilah comes into being only due to Yom Kippur, not due to Shabbos, we still mention Shabbos in Ne'ilah anyway. Same rule would apply here. The Gemara says there used to be a minhag to say a short haftarah by Mincha on Shabbos. When the Persians made a gzerah not to do this, the minhag became discontinued. And that's in fact today. We do not say a haftarah by Mincha on Shabbos, only in the morning on Shabbos. Back then, many people davened Maariv at home, since most shuls were outside the city. But on Friday night, everyone came to shul. And since some people would come late and would be left alone in shul at the end in order to finish, they were late, so they would start late, therefore they would finish late. They would potentially be in a makam sakana because of shadim, and someone could be left alone there, the makam sakana. So the chachamim went and lengthened the tefillah on Friday night, so that the latecomers could finish their tefillahs in the protective company of all members of the shul. The Mishnah. Shemen Sreifa, oil of Truma Temea, which must be burnt on Yontif, cannot be used as a fuel for Hadlakas Neiros Shel Shabbos, since as we already learned, Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif. Rabbi Yishmael says, you also can't use Itran, since it has a bad smell, so it'll ruin the Kvayd Shabbos. But the Chachamim allow all oils for Neiros Shabbos, including Sumsumin, sesame oil, Egoizim, nut oil, Steinus, radish oil, Dogim, fish oil, Pakuais, desert watermelon, Itrain, which is a waste product, and Naft, which is a derivation of pitch. Rabbi Tarfon says, Neiros Shabbos can only be kindled with Shemen Zayis, olive oil. The Gemara. The reason we say, Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif, is learned from the extra words of the Pasuk regarding Karban Pesach, that it says, Ad Baiker. Don't burn it on the first Baiker, but on the second Boiker, i.e. in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about one day of Yontif, we actually wait to burn it until after Yontif, which is how we learn Ein Sarf and Kachim B'Yontif. The Gemara also brings a number of other drushes as well to this. Although we often say Ese Deiche Leisase, but by Kachim and Yontif, we don't say this. Because it's not just Ese Deiche Leisase, but it's we're trying to say Ese Deiche Leisase V'yase, i.e., Ein Oimrim Ese Deiche Leisase V'ase. The Ase is burning the leftover Kachim. The Leisase is don't do work on Yontif, and the extra Ase is to rest on Yontif. So therefore we say Ein Oimrim Ese Deiche Leisase V'ase. That's why Ein Sarf and Kachim B'Yontif. Rav says, just like there is a mitzvah to burn kachim, which became tame, so too by truma, or a kayan might eat it by accident. Reb Nachman bar Reb Zabda said, to eat on Shabbos in a place where there is light, i.e. neris, that's a chayva. Rechitzes yadayim v'raglayim in hot water on Arab Shabbos is optional. Others say this too is a chayva, or it may even be considered something which is a mitzvah, and therefore it helps to bring schar. The Gemara asks, who is called an usher, a rich person? Rameir says someone who is sameach b'chelke, whether he has a lot or a little. Rabbi Tarfon says a person is called an usher when he has 100 fields and 100 servants to work them properly. Rabbi Akiva says one who has a wife who is beautiful in her deeds, that's called an usher. And Rabbi Yossi says anyone who has a beis hakise near his table, that is called an usher. Daf chafav. Tzari, balsam oil, is usher to use for Ner Shabbos since it smells good and someone may want to freshen up with it on Shabbos and be over on the malacha of extinguishing the fire because they'll want to use the oil. Or maybe it's usur because it's very flammable, so therefore it's a sakana. Shimon ben Elazar says, if a beged is made with thread and it is at least the size of 3x3 etzbais, it can become tame. But if the fibers come from a tree, even cotton, then it is not tame by 3x3, and therefore since it can't become tame, it can be used for schach. We know that only items which are not roi lekabel tuma can be used for schach. A dead sheretz can be metame ba'adosha, meaning that even just a small bit of it can be metame. And ka'adosha means like a lentil. Mash'enke by negoim, we need a larger shear of kigris, which is the size of a coin. A beged which is tsemer upishtim, according to some, are the only ones which can ever become tame via tumas sheretz. The Gemara says the iser of shatnez only applies to a mix of tsemer upishtim, wool and linen. And since the pasuk of shatnez in Devarim Chaf Beis, Loi Silbash Shatnez, is next to the pasuk of tzitzes, Gedilim Taselach, we learn that according to some shitas, tzitzes should be made out of tzemer or pishtim. According to others, only 4-cornered begadim made of tzemer or pishtim are chayav to have tzitzes put in them. This way of learning two psukim that are next to each other is called being darish bismuchim, with psukim that are next to or adjacent to one another. From the pasuk of Uri Isem Oisoi, regarding tzitzes, you should see them, in Bamidbar Tesvav, we learn that one is only mechuyev to wear tzitzes on begadim worn by day, not begadim worn at night. Ksus Laila, for example, possibly pajamas, which are only worn at night. Kuntras Aladaf brings the Machlaikus Rishainim as to what the p'tur of Ksus Laila by tzitzes exactly means. Rashi Divrei Amaschil Lichasois defines ksus laila as a garment which is miyuchad lelaila, designated for nightwear, such as a robe or pajamas. If one has a 4-cornered robe, which is generally worn at night, it does not require tzitzis, even if one happens to wear it during the day, since it's miyuchad laila. Conversely, a garment that is designated for day use always requires tzitzis, even if it's worn at night. This is also the opinion of the Rush in Menachas, which is born in Hilchas Ketanis, at the end of Hilchas Tzitzis. It's also the opinion of Benu Tam, in Menachas Daf Mem. The Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis, Paragimel Halacha Zayin, maintains that all garments are putter from tzitzis at night. If one dons his talis at night, according to the Rambam, he does not recite a bracha, because one is putter from the mitzvah of tzitzis at night. The Ramah in Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Gimel, cites an opinion that considers it improper to sleep with a talis cotton, because it's considered a bizayin for the mitzvah. However, the Ramah says that the prevailing custom is to be makel in regard to the fact that people often sleep or nap while wearing their talis cotton. The Magid Avram, in Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Cotton Beis, brings the Arizal, who based on Kabbalistic sources, recommends sleeping in a talis cotton. We should point out the Tshuvais Na'is Desha, which is brought in the Shailos and Tshuvais Na'is Desha, Simen Samach Beis, also brought in the Chai Odam, in Simen Yod Aleph. he says that tzitzis should only be assembled during the daytime, when the obligation of tzitzis applies. He says that one should not make tzitzis at night, since according to the Rambam, all begadim are potter from tzitzis at night. The Prima Gadim, however, in Simon Yud Ches, writes that tzitzis which are assembled at night are valid, even according to the Rambam, because there is no halacha requiring that they be made only when the mitzvah is applicable. The next Mishnah. Any wick which comes from a tree cannot be used for Ner Shabbos, except for pishtan, flax. But all things that come from a tree cannot be metame tumas ayil, i.e. if it serves to cover a mace, because it doesn't transmit tumas ayil. The only thing that can transmit tumas ayil is pishtan. Daf Chofres, the Gemara. For the Mishkan, meleches shamayim, the rule was that only skins from the behema tohera were able to be used. And the Mishkan had two covers. Number one, woven threads, including linen, oires shal elim hadamim, and goat hair, oires tachashim. Others say that there were more than two covers. The Gemara says that the chumra, that only or behema tohera can be used for meleches shamayim, not only applies to the Mishkan, but to tefillin as well, that only the hides from a behema tohera can be used for batim and ritzuais of tefillin. Also, from the pasuk in Shmais Yud Gimel, Leman Tihiya Teiras Hashem Beficha, we learn that parshas written in the tefillin also must be written on parchment from a behema tohera. And the Ramah in Arachayim Simen Tof Kuf Pevav Sif Aleph brings the Ran in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chofavam in Beis, who extends the rule of our Gemara to shofar as well. And he says that only the horns of a kosher animal should be used for a shofar in Rosh Hashanah, because a shofar must be taken from a species of animal which is mutar beficha, i.e. an animal that's kosher. And the Mogid Avram in Sifkat Gimel explains that all mitzvahs are derived from tefillin, and just like tefillin must be manufactured from kosher animals, so too the materials used for other mitzvahs must be taken from kosher animals as well. A tachash is a machlokes if it's a chaya, i.e. it's an undomesticated animal, like a deer, or a behema, a domesticated animal, like a cow. It had only one horn coming out of its head. The next Mishnah. A piece of a garment large enough to be mekabel tuma, i.e. it's 3x3 etzbais, made into a wick, but not singed, Rabbi Eliezer says, even though it's a wick, it can still be mekabel tuma, because its shem beged remains. Therefore, you can't use it for an Ner Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says it's tahar, because it's not a beged anymore, because now it's called a wick, and you can, therefore, use it for Ner Shabbos. The Gemara. On Yontif, one can fuel a fire with whole kelim, but not with pieces of kelim that broke on Yontif, since they are muktzah because of noilad. If a keli comes into a new state of being on Yontif, this is called noilad, i.e. it's born on Yontif, and therefore it's what we call muktzah. If kelim are broken, then they are transferred from a clay keli sholem, a full keli, to shivrei kelim, and therefore they become a new entity, which is what makes it into neilad. Daf Chavtetz. Fragments of a keli that broke on Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda says it's osur to use because of neilad and muktzah. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay to use. If one ate a nut and he had shells left over, Rabbi Yehuda says the shells are muktzah, or Rabbi Shimon says they're not. The Gemara says if a piece of beged was used for a non-chashava purpose, for example as a stopper, if it was put away, Rabbi Eliezer says it becomes again ro'i lekabel tuma, because he put it away, so it's now chashav again, and it's muchan. Rabbi Yeshua says it's tahar, since it's not chashav as a beged. Rabbi Akiva says it depends on what he had in mind. If he hung it, so it's a siman that it's chashav. If not, so that it's not chashav. In the end, Rabbi Akiva was chayzer, and he held like Rabbi Yeshua. The next Mishnah. One should not make a hole in an egg, fill it with oil, and suspend it above a lamp, so during Shabbos the oil will drip into the lamp on a regular basis. Why can't he do this? Since he may take some of the oil for a different use and be over on mechaba. Mechaba is extinguishing a fire, which he is doing indirectly, i.e. by taking some oil now, the fire will go out earlier. And this is osur midrabanan. This explanation is according to the shita of the Rush, that removing the oil from the eggshell will cause the lamp to go out earlier, and therefore it's osur to remove the oil. Taisvis, however, has a different opinion. He holds that in order to be liable for mechaba, a person's action must have an immediate effect on the flame. So removing some of the oil from the eggshell will not immediately reduce the intensity of the fire. So according to that, why should this be usur? You could say that it's usur because since the oil has been set apart for the purpose of burning, It's muktzah, and therefore it can't be used no matter what happens. Even if it goes out early, the oil can't be used anyway. So that's the reason, according to Tosfos, it's usur to do this. The Mishnah continues by saying, even if the oil is mius, this is still usur. Yehuda, however, says this is mutter. But if this drip infrastructure was created lachatchila as a keli, then this is all mutter. Finally, the Mishnah says someone should not fill a receptacle with oil and put it next to a nair for the same reasons that we mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda says this is mutter. The Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds davar she'ena miskaven is mutter on Shabbos. For example, if one drags a bed in a rishus harabim, and it so happens that it creates a chritz, a furrow in the ground, which is the malacha of charish, this is mutter, as long as he doesn't have in mind to do the malacha. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says this is aser. So Rabbi Yehuda holds davar she'ena miskaven is aser. The Gemara says if one sells begadim, even if it has shatnas in the begadim, one can put them on to model them for a potential buyer, as long as they don't have kavana to use them to warm themselves up in the winter. The Mishnah. If someone extinguishes a lamp because of fear, for example, there's goyim around, or avodah zarah, or robbers, or an evil spirit, or a sick person is sleeping, and a person is afraid that if they don't put out the fire, then they'll be attacked by the robbers, or the person who's sick will wake up, then if a person does this, he's potter. If he is kechas al haner, he puts it out so the lamp will not crack, so then he's chayef, since by doing that, he's producing charcoal. The Beis says he's potter, unless you're trying to spare the wick. Daflamed, the Gemara. Since we say chayev in the Seifa, the Mishnah must be like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds melacha she'en tzricha legufa is chayev. And melacha she'en tzricha legufa is a melacha that's not intended for its defined purpose in the Mishkan. For example here, if one extinguishes a flame to conserve the wick, since this is a melacha done for its defined purpose, according to Reb Shimon, he'd be potter, because a melacha she'en tzricha legufa, according to Reb Shimon, is potter. But according to Reb Yehuda, as long as it fulfills any constructive purposes, even if it isn't done for the defined purpose in the Mishkan, he's still chayev, because he holds a davar she'en tzricha legufa is chayev. For a chayle she'esh by sakana, one who's sick and his life is in danger, one is allowed to do even a melacha daraisa, even extinguishing a fire, for example, since pikuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos. The Gemara says a person should be sure to learn Torah and do mitzvahs before he dies, since after he dies, he can't do them. When Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash and he asked the gates of the Kodesh Kodashim to open, they refused. So he quoted the pasuk from Tilim Chof Dalet, Su'u sha'arim rashaychem, v'yinasu pischei olam, v'yavay melech hakaved sela. Raise your heads and be uplifted so the King of Glory can enter. Since David HaMelech knew he would die on Shabbos, he sat and learned Torah all day of every Shabbos, so the Melech HaMavis couldn't get to him. As we know, Torah protects one from death. On the day he was supposed to die, the Melech HaMavis shook the nearby tree, and when David went to check out what happened, the Melech HaMavis went and killed him. At one point they wanted to hide Sefer Koheles and Sefer Mishlei, because some parts contradict other parts. The Gemara says sometimes Hashem brings good fortune to Rishayim and Olam Hazeh, so they'll use up all of their Olam Haba. When the Pasuk says, V'shibachta ani es ha-simcha, it refers to Hashem praising simcha shel mitzvah. For example, as Rashi explains, hachnas es kala. The Gemara says that the Shechina does not rest in places of atzvus, sadness, atzlus, laziness, schaik, laughter, kalas reish, makari, sicha, shmuzing, or dvarim betelim. But the Shechina only rests b'toich simcha shel mitzvah. When one begins teaching Torah, he should begin the shiur with something happy. As Rashi explains, this gets people's attention. Nonetheless, the Talmud still must sit in front of his Rebbe with fear. Finally, the Gemara relates to us the story of the Talmud who continued to mock his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, and whatever Rabbi Gamliel said, he kept answering, Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Daf Lamed Aleph. Tan Rabbanan. A person should always strive to be humble and gentle, like Hillel, but not impatient and unbending like Shammai. There was a bet between two people who tried to get Hillel to get angry. So one of them went to Hillel just before Shabbos, as he was bathing. Hillel had to stop taking the bath, had to put on his robe, and when he came outside to see what this person wanted, the person asked him, why are the heads of Babylonians round? Which was a very trivial question, in addition to other questions when he disturbed him. And in each case, Hillel said, that's an excellent question, and he gave him a straight answer. There was a maisa of a nachri who came before Shammai and asked him how many Torahs are there. And Shammai said, there are two Torahs, Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. He asked Shammai to be megayer him with only the Torah Shebichsav, and he refused unbendingly. Then he went to Hillel, who was Megayer him, since Hillel thought he could eventually get him to accept Torah Shabbal Peh as well. And this is in fact what happened. And there was another Maisa, where a Nachri came to Shammai and asked him to be Megayer him on the condition that he would teach him the entire Torah al regel achas, and he pushed him away with his stick. Then he came to Hillel, and Hillel converted him, and said, the Torah is very simple. It's as follows. Dalach senei lechavrach, lo tave. What is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. And all the rest of the Torah, that's just a perish on this. The Marsha explains that Hillel's words are based on the pasuk of Ahavta l'reacha kamecha, love your neighbor as yourself. In addition to the pashut pshat, which is what is hateful to you, do not do to your friend, Rashi also explains another pshat. Do not do to your fellow man also means don't do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he doesn't like. Just as one finds it hateful when someone disregards his wishes, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like it when we disregard his wishes, i.e. his mitzvahs from the Torah. And then the Gemara says that these Gerim said that the sternness of Shammai almost kept us away from the Torah, while the kindness of Hillel brought us tachas kanfei HaShchina. The Arizal points out that since we are living in a world of chesed, and chesed is the midah of Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Mashenkin, in the time of Mashiach, when the midas hagavura will preside, we will do like the shita of Beis Shammai. Reish Lakish asks, what is meant by the pasuk in Yeshaya, Lamed Gimel, v'haya emunas itecha chesin yeshuais, chachmas vadas yiras Hashem, yaitzare, the kiyum of your time and the strength of Yeshua comes to chachma and das, and the fear of Hashem is his storehouse. Emuna, which is trust, is equal to Seder's rhyme. Taisus explains that to be mekayim the mitzvahs of, for example, Peah, Bikurim, one must have trust in Hashem. Itecha, time, is equal to Seder Mayed, which the halachas of Mayed and Zmanim and so on. Chaisen, strength, is Seder Nashim, which is related to the yuchsin of children who come as a result of Kedushin. Yeshuais, salvation, is equal to Seder Nezikin. We learn how to save ourselves from owing money as a result of damaging other properties, or other people's properties. Chachma is wisdom, is Seder Kachim, and Das, knowledge, is Seder Taharis. Das is a higher level of understanding versus Chachma. And Rava said, when they bring a person to Beis Din in Shemayim after death, they ask him a number of questions. Number one, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you conduct your business dealings with honesty and integrity? Number two, Kavata itim la'Torah, did you set times each day and night for learning Torah? Number three, Asakta v'piria v'rivya, did you engage in having children? And the Marsha, by the way, explains that this isn't only referring to having children of your own, but helping Yisoimim find Shidduchim as well, and therefore carrying out the continuity of Klal Yisrael through them. Number four, Tzipisa l'Yeshua, did you wait and hope for the Mashiach? Number five, Pilpalta b'chachma, did you delve into chachma? And finally, number six, Havanta dabar mitach dabar, did you apply some Torah learning to different Torah learning? Note that all six aspects of the pasuk are covered here in these six things. And the conclusion of the pasuk, Yiras Hashem, referring to Oitzer, is if Yiras Hashem is in his Oitzer, then the person's judgment will be favorable. And if it's not in his Oitzer, then it will not be favorable. The Bnei Yisoschar asks an interesting question regarding the lashon of Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did you conduct your business dealings with honesty and integrity? Why does it use this funny expression? Why doesn't it just say Nasasa v'nasata be'emes? Or did you do your business dealing with emes? Why does it say Nasata be'emuna? Where does the term emuna come from? The Bnei Yisoschar explains that this question is asked concurrently with the next question, Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside enough time for studying Torah? One who has a lot of bitachon and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that his income is predestined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's cognizant of the fact that if he spends too much time in business and he cuts a lot of his time out from Torah, that doesn't serve to increase what he's going to make anyway. Therefore, a person is asked whether he had sufficient emunah when conducting his business, thus making it possible to designate sufficient time for learning Torah. Often the problem of not being able to find time to study Torah is a result of deficiency in emunah, because a person thinks he has to work harder and harder and harder to make more money, but if a person would only have enough emunah, he would realize he doesn't have to work that hard, and therefore he'll have enough time to be able to learn the proper amount of Torah, and to be kaveh itim l'Torah every day. Rabba Bar Rabbi Huna said, any person who has Torah, but isn't a Yiras Shamayim, is like someone who has the key to the inner doorway of a palace, but no key to the outer door. I.e., if a person does not have Yiras Shamayim, his Torah can't result in anything really positive. Rabbi Elazar says, "Ein loy laKadosh Baruch Hu b'olam, ela yira shamayim bilvad." Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing else in his world except for the fear of Shamayim alone. Meaning, nothing brings a person into the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu except if a person fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says the general rule is that if one does a malacha which isn't constructive, but rather destructive, then he's potter, midaraisa. Of course, midarabanan, a person can't do this. An example would be taking a knot apart. This is not really something constructive. But if one destructs something in order to be constructive, to construct something later, then he may be chayev. Soiser almanas livnois. This is what's referred to. But Rabbi Yossi says, soiser almanas livnois can only maybe be chayev if it's bimkaime. In other words, a person knocks something down in order to build something in the same place. But if he knocked down a building, for example, in Brooklyn, to take the bricks and build something in Manhattan, that kind of soiser is potter. This analogy can also be applied to the Mishnah's case of the wick. The next Mishnah. On three averis, a woman may die during childbirth. The three averis are not being careful with inyanei nida, not being careful with inyanei chala, afrashas chala, and not being careful with hadlakas neiros, shel Shabbos. The Ritva and Rashi explain that these three mitzvahs are singled out because they bear a special connection to women, in that women oversee the proper observance of them. And the Chasam Sofer says that chana is a Rosh HaTevis of Chala, Nida, and Hadlaka, and that Chana was the personification of these mitzvahs, and was the source of Kedusha and Tefillah, by bringing Shmuel HaNavi to the world, who anointed David HaMelech, who eventually wrote Tehillim. Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara. Why is there Sakana during childbirth? Gemara answers, since it is already a Shas Sakana, the woman needs extra Rachamim, so her mitzvahs and Averas are examined more carefully, and she is overall more vulnerable. The Gemara gives a mashal. If an ox you want to kill falls to the ground, sharpen your knife quickly, because it's much easier to kill the animal when it's on the ground, i.e. it's vulnerable, than when it's standing up. Also, since Chava was over by the Eitz Hadas, women were punished with difficulty in childbirths, but this childbirth can be the catalyst for other punishments as well. And the Gemara asks, when is a man tested in the time of Sakana? Our answer is when he crosses a bridge. But Rabbi Yanai said, "Le'olam al yamayd odam b'makom sakana, leimer sha'isin lai nes, shema einoisin lai nes." A person should not purposely put himself into a makom sakana and say, "You know what? I'm not afraid because a nes is going to happen, a miracle is going to happen, because it's very possible a miracle will not happen to him." And in fact, if a miracle does happen to him, he'll use up a lot of his schusim. A person doesn't want to use up too many schusim. The Mesilas Susharim in Perek Tes points out that one who knowingly places himself in a makom sakana is in violation of the mitzvah in Devarim, Perak Dalet, Pasuk Tesvav, of Vinishmarta Ma'od L'Nafshei Sechem, where the Torah says a person has to guard his health and well-being, and certainly a person cannot put himself into a makam sakana. Similarly, the Gemara says, a person should always be mispal not to get sick, because if he gets sick, he may need to use up a lot of schusim to get better. The rule is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megalglin Schus al Yidei Zakah, u'Megalglin Chayva al Yidei Chayev. Hashem uses a good person to be the shliach for good things, and he uses a bad person to create the bad things. The Gemara says if one is very, very sick and he's about to die, he should say vidui. The Gemara asks, what are the defense attorneys that one can hire in this world to work with him in the Bezdin Shamala? The answer is tshuva u'maisim taivim. Even if 999 malachim prosecute him, but one is malamid tzchus, he is spared. The Marsha explains that every time a person does a mitzvah, a malach is created, and every time he does an Avera, a different Malach is created. Rabbi Nosson says, for the Avera of breaking a Neder, people's wives die, or one's children can die when they are young. As the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Al titen espicha lachti, don't allow your mouth to sin. Reish Lakish says, anyone who is careful in the mitzvah of tzitzes will be zeicha to have many servants when Mashiach comes. Rabbi Nechami says, because of the Avera of sinas chinam, shalom bias will become a problem in one's house, mida keneged mida. And for the Avera of not giving Truma Sumaisris, the Shamayim will close and rain will not fall. This is also Mida Keneged Mida, because crops will not grow because he was stingy with giving Truma Sumaisris. But if people are Nizer in these mitzvahs, there will be plenty of food, as the Pasuk in Malachi Gimel says, V'hari kaisi lachem bracha ad belidai. I will pour out bracha for you without limit. What is meant by ad belidai? Rami Barab says, Ad sheyivlu sifsei sechem milay mardai, until your lips get tired of saying enough, i.e. there will be a major abundance of bracha. Daf Amud Gimel. For the Avera of corruption of judgment, or for the Avera of Bittul Torah, the taking of spoils in war will increase, and the food will be cursed. For the Averas of Shua Sheker, Chil Hashem and Chil Shabbos, wild beasts will increase, and wild stock for people to eat will decrease. Rashi, by the way, says as an example of Chil Hashem is when a Talmud Chacham or a Chashev, a member of the community, is not careful with his deeds, and Zilzul Torah comes about. The Gemara then says for the Averas of Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and for not observing Shemitah and Yovel, Golos will come to the world. And for the Avera of Nivul Peh, obscene language, new Gzeros are made constantly. Young men will die, and Yusaimim and Almanos will cry out, but will not be answered. Rav Hanan said everyone knows why the Kala is under the Chuppah to get married, but anyone who expresses it openly and talks about it in a manuvaldika way, even if there was a sealed decree of 70 years good for that person, they will reverse this and make it a decree of evil instead. And someone who runs to do an Avera is punished with the disease of Hadraken, and one who speaks Lashon Hara will contract the disease of Askara. The Gemara says when the Churban occurred, the Tanaim went to Karen B'Yavna and said that Askara strikes a person if someone eats something which had no Maaser taken from it, or due to Bittul Torah. Once Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, all the great infrastructure built by the Romans were made for their own selfish needs, for example, markets for the Zionists and bridges to collect taxes. Rav Yehuda ben Gerim, who was there when he said this, repeated what he had heard to a number of people, and eventually the government heard about it, and Rav Shimon was condemned to death, so he hid, and only his wife knew where he was. But he said to his son, Nashim Daitin Kalasein, the minds of women are light and can easily be influenced. So the government may torture her, and she'll reveal the hiding place. Rav Shimon and his son then moved and began to hide in a cave, where a carob tree grew, and a well of water emerged, in order to give them sustenance for their hiding, which was for 12 years. Eliyahu HaNavi came to watch the entrance. After Rav Shimon came out from hiding, he once ran Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim in the shuk, stared at him intensely, caused him to die, and he ended up just being a pile of bones. Finally, Rav Shimon wanted to do a favor for the Rabbim in honor of his redemption, so he built a marketplace, as he learned from Yaakov, who was saved from Esav. Vayava Yaakov Shalem, v'amarav, Shalem v'gufay, Shalem v'mamayneh, Shalem v'terasay. So Yaakov went and did a favor for the Rabbim, as the Pasuk says, v'yichan es p'nei ha'ir, v'amarav, matbe'atikin lohem. He made a new coin in honor of the Rabbim. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so we'll have to complete the last two blat of Parapa Manalikin on the next tape, Amir Tz Hashem.